On Mondays, we read from your emails. During our most recent show on the 9/11 Commission's recommendations, a listener responded to a comment made by Republican Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah when I mentioned Democrat Senator Dianne Feinstein's suggestion for an intelligence university. Senator Hatch replied, "If we had an intelligence university, it would be good for the full intelligence community." Listener Roger Rosewall in Ashburn, Virginia, emailed that there already is such a school. He wrote the Department of Defense has a joint military intelligence college in Washington, D.C. It grants B.S. and M.S. degrees in strategic intelligence. It's existed since 1962. I graduated with an M.S. in 2002. Well, thank you for that clarification, Roger. We found out that this accredited college was, in fact, created by the DOD to merge the Army and Navy academic intelligence programs, and it's located at Bolling Air Force Base here in Washington, D.C. During our program on the experience of running for office, Alan Ossemeyer emailed us this story. "I ran against a popular incumbent and realized I was a long shot, to say the least. This, however, freed me up to speak truthfully about the issues and say some unpopular things that wouldn't have earned me many votes. I lost, of course, but this established me as a valid voice, and I was offered several appointed positions. My candidacy," he concluded, "brought me a platform to speak." And Sue Rentz from Boise, Idaho, wrote with a few pointers for up-and-coming politicians. She should know after 3.5 terms in the Idaho State Senate. "Don't underestimate the value of running for a party office like precinct captain or district chairman," she wrote. "These are valuable organizing positions and can often lead to other opportunities. It's also called paying your dues." We aired several segments last week on hurricanes and the damage they cause, which prompted Robert to send us this question. "If we're spending billions of dollars a year to fix the damage caused by hurricanes, it seems like we're taking a very reactionary stance. Is there a way to do something proactively to slow an incoming hurricane?" Well, for the answer, we turn to Frank Marks with the Hurricane Research Division of the Atlantic Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory in Miami, Florida. Good to have you on Talk of the Nation.
Pleasure to be here, Neil.
In his email, Robert suggested installing some sort of windbreaker off the Florida coast or using some explosive means to stop a hurricane. Have those been considered and dismissed, or are either practical?
Many things have been considered for this type of mitigation of tropical cyclones or hurricanes. We've actually done a lot of activity back in the 60s and 70s, seeding clouds and trying to mitigate the storms that way. But we found out that storms change very rapidly and that didn't seem to work. The problem that we usually have is that there's a limited knowledge of the scale or the size and magnitude of energy involved. Fully developed hurricane releases enough energy to probably power the U.S. for a day every 24 hours. In 20 minutes, it releases enough energy as a 10-megaton nuclear bomb. So there's a tremendous amount of energy there, and it covers a huge area, 27,000 square miles. So it's really difficult to harness that energy or even to mitigate it.
Hurricanes are also part of the natural ecology. The areas hit by them have learned to adapt to them, no?
Correct. And there's the hazard of cause and effect. You know, what happens if our mitigation activity causes more harm than good? If we dropped a bomb in it, it could cause radioactivity, it could change the ocean currents, could have a biological impact. You know, we proposed this seeding in the 60s and 70s only to be rebuffed by our neighboring countries for stealing their water, redirecting the storms from our coastlines to their coastlines. I mean, there's just a lack of trust in the ability of this type of activity worldwide.
And one other question. Obviously, a windbreak at the Florida coast is a little late in the game. If anything were to be done effectively, wouldn't it be done when these were very small storms off the coasts of Africa?
That's correct. And that brings up a logistical problem. You know, how do you focus activity on a place so remote in the middle of the ocean? That makes the logistics quite formidable.
Frank Marks, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Frank Marks is a meteorologist with NOAA's Hurricane Research Division, and he joined us by phone from his office in Miami. You can email us with questions, comments, or corrections. The address is TOTN at NPR.org. Be sure to tell us where you're writing from and include the city and state if you think we'll need it. Also provide us some guidance on how to pronounce your name.